Welcome to BPB Knows. Today, BPB Knows economic damages claims. Our expert is Dan Hughes, a director in our forensic and advisory services practice and an expert in these types of claims. So Dan, tell us, when is an economic damage claim warranted?
They're usually warranted in a commercial litigation. It's going to be a civil litigation, which means the parties are arguing over money, and the aggrieved party will often assert a variety of claims, and those claims will have various remedies and damages associated with them.
So who launches the need to do an economic damages analysis, or the kind of work that you do? Is it usually the attorney? Is it one of the partners of something that's breaking up? Or what's the usual scenario?
Well, it's going to be an underlying client, a company, an individual, an entity that feels that they've been wronged. Perhaps they had a contract and they believe the other party breached the contract, or they feel a tort was committed against them. So they feel they've been wronged, and they feel as a result of the wrong, they've suffered damages. So the attorneys will draft a complaint, and they will assert various counts. These counts are going to be the various laws that they feel were violated. And again, those laws, they will assert damages that flow from breaking that law. And then the attorneys will contact us as the forensic accounting damages expert, and they will say, I need you to quantify the damages pursuant to this litigation matter in these various counts. Now, a lot of times these counts, it could be the same damages, the same calculation of damages that will apply. And to give you an example, let's suppose the damages are lost profits, say in a breach of contract. We would calculate the lost profits associated with the alleged breach of the contract, and then that damage number will apply to the various counts in the litigation. So it could be one number that applies to four or five different counts, but the counts are the ways for the attorneys to allege different laws that were violated, different aspects of laws that were violated.
Are these usually open and shut cases, or do they really take some time to work their way through the system?
Oh, they could take a lot of time to work their way through the system. I've got cases that have been pending for years. Usually in the state court cases could go on forever. Federal cases seem to move a little quicker. Now, depending on the circumstances, depending on the parties, you could get a case that's called a rocket docket, which means the case gets filed and it's going to go to trial right away. But I would say those are more of the exceptions rather than the norm.
And is it usually larger entities that are suing each other for these economic damages, or is it something that applies to small businesses, growing businesses as well?
It runs the gamut from small companies all the way up to your Fortune, 100 type companies. So it's everywhere. And the beauty of our platform is that we've done cases, we can go really small, to the very smallish level, and we can go all the way to working for one of the Fortune 100s.
And so how do you approach your work once you get engaged, say, for a mid-size merger that went wrong, and you have two aggrieved parties, you work for one or the other? How do you go about proving economic damages?
There are some widely accepted methodologies that are out there. One of them is referred to as a before and after methodology. Another one is referred to as a benchmark or yardstick methodology. in a before and after methodology, what you're doing is you have sort of stick in the ground. We'll say that's the date of breach or the date the tort was committed, you know, the date of the wrongdoing. And what we do as experts is we look at what happened prior to the date of breach or the wrongdoing, and then we look at what happened after. And we're looking to see a change or a differential that we could then point to and say, we think that's the result of the alleged wrongdoing. This is called the causation. And we have to make sure that we're linking the alleged wrongdoing to what caused sort of the differential in the after period. And when we're using a benchmark approach, the benchmark is we're looking at some benchmark in the after period that we believe would have represented how the aggrieved party would have performed. And we usually argue that they didn't perform as well as a benchmark. There was a fall off. Benchmark in actual performance, we say that's the alleged damage. Of course, the key there is to make sure that the benchmark is comparable to the subject entity. So those are some of the ways we try to go about it, but it's really more of an art rather than a science, and there are a lot of variables and facts and circumstances of the case that come into play.
And it's those facts and circumstances of the case that helps you decide which of those two methodologies to use.
Many times, yes. We facts and circumstances may dictate one versus the other, and other, or you may sometimes apply both, or you use one and apply the second one as sort of a sanity check or a reasonableness check for your first approach.
So what happens after you conduct your analysis and you find that there was some sort of breach and there were economic damages? Does a judge rule? Is there a court trial? Do you have to serve as an expert witness to validate your numbers? What happens after the analysis is done?
Yeah, D, all of the above. So you
Okay.
pretty much just said it. What happens is we have a system in the United States that allows each side to put forth an expert to not necessarily advocate for their client. You can't be an advocate. You need to be objective and independent. But each expert, working with the same fact pattern, tries to, find for damages that are in the best interest of their client. Apply the facts to the as best they can to their client situation to sort of come up with an opinion of damages. Then each expert will be deposed, will be cross-examined so that the trier of fact could understand our methodology, what we relied upon, the sufficiency and the relevancy of the data that we relied upon, and how we formed our opinions. And the trier of fact then needs to weigh, when I say the trier of fact, I'm talking about a judge and or a jury. The trier of fact then needs to weigh which expert they believe is more credible, who's closer to the truth of what actually happened here. So it's an entire process that we go through, oftentimes resulting in deposition testimony ahead of a trial. And if the case actually goes the distance, as we say, and goes through a trial, then the judge and/or the jury will render a verdict if they believe A, liability was found. That has nothing to do with damages. That just means whether or not the laws were violated. And then B, the second part of the damages component of the case, and that's where a number is decided, a dollar value is decided if the plaintiff is entitled to any monetary damages or not.
And is that damages number often based on your analysis, or is that something the judge comes up with or negotiates? How does that number get decided?
Yeah, that, Melissa, could be a black box. There are
Okay.
times, yes, there certainly are times where the judge could adopt an expert's analysis and say, I find the analysis to be credible and a fair measurement of the damages that were suffered in this case. That could happen. But as I said, because you have two opposing experts, the judge could decide it's something in the middle between the two experts. That's sort of the right number. When a jury is involved, and I've been involved with this, the jury could come back with a number where it's just a head scratcher and you have no idea where that number came from. That's why there's so much risk involved in going to a trial. And this is why you see very few lawsuits actually go the distance. It's because of this risk and anything that can happen, not to mention the expense of actually going to a trial.
It's so interesting. And as always, members of our forensics team have the best stories about the work that they do. But it sounds like the expert witness can make or break one of these types of claims. So if you're looking for an expert witness, choose wisely. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today and explaining everything about economic damages. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. As always, if you have questions or topics that you would like for us to cover, you can contact us at bpbknows@bpbcpa.com, and we will see you next time.